Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. And we'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4. And we've been looking here at verse number 4, which says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So we've been looking at some of the things here that the Apostle Paul has been making a reference to related to the issues of the practical life of an individual, how he's laid out some doctrinal things, and now he's going to just give a few practical things of what it is that a believer needs to be looking at as a result of the Word of God having a full impact on the individual's life. And that's how we've spent the last few episodes really looking at some of those aspects of how it is that the Word of God is supposed to be impacting the life of an individual. And you see that the Apostle Paul here is saying, when he is saying, well, they should know, and then he's now going to say exactly what it is that individuals should know when he says how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So the knowledge that the believers are going to get is going to be the things of, okay, now you're going to learn exactly how to do something based on what the Word of God is actually saying here. And when Paul talks about this issue of knowing how to do things, we have the understanding of what Paul looks at related to the impact of the Word of God, related to the grace of God actually working in the life of an individual. Let's go over here to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to see that something that Paul writes to the assembly in Corinth here. And we're going to start here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 to see something that Paul says to these individuals as he's writing to them. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, we're going to start here at verse number 9, which says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Now, what we have here is Paul looking at the aspect of how, you know, it is lawful to do all things. So there is nothing that truly prevents an individual who is a member of the body of Christ from doing certain things. And a person becomes a member of the body of Christ by putting their trust in the gospel message for today that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the first four verses of the chapter. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And someone putting their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. Once a person does that, becomes a member of the body of Christ, you know, this is different from what we see related to the nation of Israel, where Israel had all sorts of things where they were under the law, and the law told them, here's things you can do, here's things you can't do, all of these different rules and regulations that they needed to follow, and there was a clear punishment for them if they didn't do all of the things that God had commanded for them. We see how the Apostle Paul here says that all things are lawful, but then he says all things are not expedient. So it's okay for me to do all things. It's just that those all things that I'm doing, some of them are going to be expedient, giving benefits to the individual who's doing them. Other things are not going to be expedient. They're not going to be giving benefits to the individual. They're going to be doing some form of harm. And that's why he looks at, as he continues on, talks about how a person can be brought under the power of certain things. And when he's talking about that idea of being under the power of them, it's the thing of that those issues can start to have a control over the person's life. And that control, making sure that it's keeping a person away from the things of God. Now, as Paul continues on writing to these same individuals, let's turn over to chapter number 10. And we'll see how Paul brings this issue up again here in chapter number 10. And we're going to read here verse number 23. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So these things that are, you know, not expedient, the things that Paul's warning about being brought under the power of, they're also things that would not edify individuals. And we know that a big part of our responsibility is the fact that we are to be edifying the individuals that we come into contact with. Paul identifies what the will of God is, that all men would be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. A big part of that coming unto the knowledge is to edify, to build up individuals. So that's what we are to do. And that edification process can only occur after a person has received salvation, because there's nothing to build upon if a person has not been saved first. Now, as we've been looking at this passage, we see how Paul makes a statement here talking about how the person is learning how to possess his vessel. Now, that's a phrase that most individuals today would really not be using to describe certain things. And in order to kind of help us get the understanding of the meaning behind what the Apostle Paul is saying here, let's define a couple of these words in this phrase. And we're going to be looking at the word possess, and we're going to be looking at the word vessel here to get the concept of what these words actually mean. So we'll look first here at the word possess, and we're going to read Webster's 1828 dictionary definition of the word possess. And it says here, and so the first definition here is to have the just and legal title, ownership, or property of a thing, to own, to hold the title of, as the rightful proprietor or to hold both the title and the thing. A man may possess the farm which he cultivates, or he may possess an estate in a foreign country, not in his own occupation. He may possess many farms which are occupied by tenants. In this, as in other cases, the original sense of the word is enlarged, the holding or tenure being applied to the title or right, as the well as to the thing itself. Second one, to hold, to occupy, without title or ownership. And an example of verses here to talk about this is Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 6, and Acts chapter 4, verse 32. The third one, to have, to occupy, the love of the world usually possesses the heart. The fourth one, to seize, to gain, to obtain the occupation of. The English march towards the river Esk, intending to possess a hill called Under Esk. The fifth one, to have power over as an invisible agent of spirit. And a verse to go along with this is Luke chapter 8, verse 36. Beware what spirit rages in your breast, for 10 inspired 10,000 are possessed. 6. To affect by some power. Let not your ears despise my tongue, which shall possess them with the heaviest sound that ever yet they heard. To possess of or with, more properly to possess of, is to give possession, command, or occupancy. Of fortune's favor long possessed. This possesses us of the most valuable blessing of human life, friendship. To possess one's self of, to take or gain possession or command, to make one's self master of. We possessed ourselves of the kingdom of Naples. To possess with, to furnish or fill with something permanent, or to be restrained. It is of unspeakable advantage to possess our minds with an habitual good intention, if they are possessed with honest mind. So these definitions really give a complete understanding of all the different ways that the word possess can actually be used. Now, when we look at all these and then try to figure out exactly what it is that Paul is trying to make a reference to here, we are looking at the idea, and I'm going to read the one again. It was definition number 5, which is to have power over as an invisible agent of spirit. So the idea of what Paul's trying to get to is that the believer that he's writing to, talking about that they're going to possess their vessel, that it's the idea of having the power over the thing of what he's going to identify as being the vessel. So in order for us now to understand what Paul means by that, now let's look at the issue of what the vessel is. And again, we're going to read the Webster's 1828 dictionary definitions of the word vessel in order to get that understanding of what is meant here. And the first one is a cask or utensil proper for holding liquors and other things, as a tun, a pipe, a puncheon, a hogshead, a barrel, a firkin, a bottle, a kettle, a cup, a dish, etc. In anatomy, any tube or canal in which the blood and other humors are contained, secreted, or circulated, as the arteries, veins, lymphatics, spermatics, etc. 3. In the physiology of plants, a canal or tube of very small bore in which the sap is contained and conveyed. Also a bag or utricle filled with pulp and serving as a reservoir for sap. Also a spinal canal, usually of a large bore, for receiving and distributing air. Number four, any building used in navigation which carries masts and sails for the largest ship of war down to a fishing sloop. In general, however, vessel is used for the smaller ships, brigs, sloops, schooner, luggers, scows, etc. Number five, something containing. And then it starts getting into the idea of vessels of wrath. In Scripture are such persons as are to receive the full effects of God's wrath and indignation as a punishment for their sins. Vessels of mercy are persons who care to receive the effects of God's mercy or future happiness and glory. Chosen vessels, ministers of the gospel, as appointed to bear the glad news of salvation to others, called also earthen vessels on account of their weakness and frailty. So we now have a number of definitions that also go along with the idea of vessel. So we can really get the understanding here of how the Apostle Paul is talking about the body of the individual. So he's really looking at from this aspect of how it is that a person is going to have control over their own body, because it's really only the individual that can truly control what's going on with themselves here. And we've been looking at the aspect of, from when we looked at the previous verse, that when he was talking about that idea of abstaining from fornication. So if we keep it in this context, we see how Paul is saying that the individual is keeping themselves under control related to the ideas of, you know, not giving into fornication. Let's turn back over. We're here in the book of 1 Corinthians. Let's turn to chapter number 9. And we're going to see Paul make a statement here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 related to keeping his body in subjection here. And we're going to start here at verse number 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. It says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So Paul talking here about how he had to keep his body under subjection. So that aspect, and when we look at things, and this is where people sometimes struggle with this idea and look and say, well, how could Paul, the individual who was being given all of this information, how could he struggle in these things? You know, shouldn't he have known better? And the issue is that the doctrine was all there for him. The issue becomes that, you know, he's still walking around in a fleshly body, and walking around in a fleshly body, there's going to be lust of the flesh. That's why you see how Paul describes it in Galatians chapter number 5 when he instructs about how an individual is to walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because the flesh still has those lusts, it still has those desires, and an individual can really attempt to give in to those things because a person is giving in to the things of the flesh. And we see how Paul actually describes a battle that is going on even in himself. Let's go over to Romans chapter number 7. And we're going to read a passage here in Romans chapter number 7 that people, you know, really do struggle with the idea of what Paul is saying here. And they almost start to think that Paul was describing himself in the unsaved state rather than Paul describing himself exactly how he is as a member of the body of Christ and actually going through these things. And we're going to start here at verse number 15 of Romans chapter 7. And we're actually going to read down through the end of the chapter. Verse 15, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And so we see how Paul really is describing here that there's a battle that is going on to where he's doing things that he knows that he shouldn't do. And this is our apostle. This is the person that is giving us all this information. It's identifying and saying that we are to follow him as he followed Christ. And even he is having some of these struggles going on. He's having some of these issues to where he is doing things that, you know, he's saying, you know, I really shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be struggling in this manner. I shouldn't be giving in to these things. And yet, here I am. And he knows that even as he's saying that he's giving in to those things, he's identifying it's not him. It's the idea of it's the flesh that is, you know, that he's giving into. He's allowing the flesh to have control in his life in that very particular area of whatever it is that he was struggling with at that time. And if Paul can identify that he was struggling with it, then we know that we are going to have those same struggles. And this is why individuals turn it into, well, this couldn't possibly have been Paul saying this as a saved individual, because they don't want to actually think about the fact that they could be giving into those things. They want to just think that, you know, they're above all of this, and Paul is saying, no, you're going to have some of these exact same struggles that he had as he was ministering to the local assemblies, as he was preaching this message and giving it out. He was having these same things and had to follow this doctrine in order to make sure that he was doing what was going to be pleasing unto God. Now we're going to continue looking at some of these aspects next time, and As we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have audio files of some previous Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service and our Wednesday service live as they're being broadcast. So we'd love to have you join us for that as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments on anything in our broadcast, anything that you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.